Before we start with today's episode, please consider donating to one of the many, 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 many organizations and individuals who are working on grounds currently in Beirut in Lebanon, where, as you may know, 2 weeks ago, there was a huge explosion caused by mismanagement of the government. And many, many, many citizens are trying to rebuild because the government has proven to be incompetent. So please, please, please consider donating whatever you can to the Lebanese Red Cross. There's a Lebanese food bank. There's Hammam Radio, and so many more that you can find online. I will try to link some on our Instagram page. Yes, that's all I wanted to say. Let's get into the episode. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Talent Center. Thank you so much. Wow, again for joining me this week. It's currently 2:30 a.m. on a Sunday, on a Monday morning, I guess. And I am tipsy, but I'm here with two of my closest friends, Maura and Charlotte. You already know Maura. I think Charlotte is it's the first time for you on this podcast. The first time for her, but we're here. Talk about K-pop and how it changed our lives, because it's so important, guys. Like, I can't even start to talk about how much it changed my life. Starting from, you know, when Maura and I became best friends, basically, through that. And if you have listened to this podcast religiously, then you know that in the first episode we said the power of K-pop, it has been stuck in my head forever. And I was like, we need to make an episode on this, but I just never knew how to. And now I was like, you know, Charlotte is here, Maura is here, let's do this.
Let's just start talking. Get the conversation going.
So, who wants to start?
I don't know where to start.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
You were into K-pop first, right, Maura?
I think we talked about this, and I think I started listening to K-pop first, but it's like a few months.
Really?
I think I started listening to K-pop either in 2010 or 11.
Girl, I started listening in 2012.
You were 2011, I think.
I'm pretty sure it's 2011.
Yeah.
I don't know when in 2011. But I know the first song I ever listened to was Replay by SHINee, but I thought it was Japanese. Because, you know, it came out in 20...
But they have a Japanese version of that song, to be fair.
Yeah, but it came out in 2009.
Oh.
And that's when I was still, like, really into watching anime. And I think I watched the video on YouTube.
You're one of the weeboos who turned into like a K-pop fan.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I was very casual about I read mangas and I watched anime, but I didn't have any friends and I wasn't really active on the internet back then because I was 10 or 11. And then, so when I listened to Replay, I just thought it was Japanese, so I didn't really get into it. And then in 2011, I listened to
UKIS.
Yeah,
UKIS.
And UKIS got me into K-pop, because the first song I showed Eileen was either G.
I'm pretty
or
sure. Okay,
Neverland.
We had this discussion so many times, and I am so sure that you showed me UKIS before you showed me G, because there was this one UKIS song where they dramatically run by the Han River, I think, with the balloons in their hands, and they're like,
which one is
it's
that?
It's not Neverland. It's like another one, but I don't... TikTok? No, it's not
TikTok,
TikTok either.
Is it like the one with the numbers? Like
maybe.
3-0-3...
probably.
3-0?
That's probably
1-0-0-3?
Yeah.
It's Chansa, which means like angel in Korean, but it's like...
What?
2003. You know, B.A.P. has one song and it's called like Angel, but it's also just like 1003 because it's like Chansa.
Okay, so
it's 004. Sorry.
Just for everyone listening. Charlotte is the one who understands Korean, and so she has the knowledge.
Korean,
I understand a few words. I have like half a year of classes. That doesn't mean anything. She actually has some knowledge.
Debatable.
But anyway, so it's probably that one.
I think it was that one. And then you showed me G. That was like the second one. Okay. If I go back on my Facebook page. Do you know what? I actually, a friend let me listen to like O from Girls' Generation before, like a year before I got into K-pop. And we were looking at like, holy shit, what is this? And then when I got into K-pop and I listened to Girls' Generation for the first time, I was like, oh my god.
This sounds familiar?
This sounds familiar. I've seen this before. It was meant to be.
Yeah, for me, that was like with SHINee. I was like, I was listening to U-Kiss. And I was like, you know... then I found SHINee. I was like, I know these people. And then I listened to Replay. And I was like, it just makes sense. Like 2 years ago, I found this song. And that's how I got into K-pop was through U-Kiss. And I think Eli at the time had like a Tumblr or something. Yeah. And he answered like fan things.
Oh my god. And then. That's
real? Yeah. Yeah, it was real. And I remember showing it to Eileen, and that's kind of like we were friends before.
We were acquaintances.
We were in a friend group, but we weren't close.
I wanted to be, but she didn't.
You wanted to be?
Yeah. Bitch, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Now you know. I never knew how you got into K-pop, Eileen.
It's
now
basically
it's me. Now I know. Mora just influenced me. And you know, Mora has this whole thing with saying like I'm the center of the friend group that we have, but I'm not.
Okay,
like,
so
I have to
clarify. Back then, so I was 14, I think.
2011?
Yeah.
You were like 15. Almost 15. Well, no, but
anyway,
in the school year, she was still 14.
So we turned 16 in 2012.
I think I started listening at 14, and then when the school year started, I turned 15, and that's when I got you into K-pop.
Yeah.
And back then, I thought of myself as the center of the friend group.
At least
like when we were closer.
In the bubble tea store.
Yeah, when we got closer. I thought that I was the center.
Yeah.
You all had bubble tea back then?
Yeah, we had a bubble tea store.
I had to wait for so long.
Wait, we will go there chronologically. But
okay, yeah. We're still, okay, I'm 14 and I have barely, like I'm in a friend group, but I'm barely close to anyone.
Yeah.
Because you just moved to Hanover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the year before.
And I was desperately trying to be friends with this girl.
Same. Yeah. Like, I need to be.
She's hard to get, you know?
I like her.
What was your Tumblr username anyway? Mrs. No, you
No, Mrs. no, okay. Okay, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. So, I showed Eileen K-pop, like, in the beginning of the school year, I think.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it was like
then
the time.
There was a small bubble tea shop in that just opened. And there was the small one, and then they opened a bigger one. And the bigger one, they started to play K-pop.
Yeah.
They had a TV and they were playing K-pop music videos.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
And that is where we met all of our friends from that time. Like B, for example.
Oh,
we met her there.
Yeah, we met her there.
For so long.
Yeah, and I also met my future dance group there.
Yeah.
So like when I started covering
dances,
it was because I met those people there.
Yeah. In the smaller one though, like I remember we saw them in the smaller one, and I think SHINee was playing, and then we were like, oh, they also know this music. And it was kind of like you should we talk to them, and then it was kind of obvious that we were both everyone was vibing to the song, and then we started a conversation.
I'm honestly I was too depressed at that time to remember anything from that time, so yeah.
I have like some moments that I vividly remember, and I remember it was
Zuzu?
Yeah. Yeah. And
Zuza. The other
I cannot.
Okay.
To me, they're both
the Polish girl.
Yeah, and Vivi or
Vivi.
Yeah. Those two and a third one. I don't know who the third person was, but I think it was a SHINee song playing.
Yeah,
and that's kind of when we started a conversation, and that wasn't the start of the dance group, but that was the start of knowing these people and seeing them again and again in the bubble tea shop.
No, especially back then when.
there were like not that many people who knew K-pop, so when you like found a K-pop fan in public, you'd be like,
"Yo, yeah,
like right now."
Okay, listen. There is. I'm sorry. No, go ahead first.
No, like right now. Sometimes some of my customers are like 12-year-old children, and they're wearing BTS sweaters, and I don't know them. I want to be like, "Who's your favorite?" But then I remember, like, times have changed.
Yeah, just like maybe I don't want to know your favorite.
Yeah.
Listen, there. It's so funny because, so you know, when we started liking K-pop, as you said, like there wasn't that many people, right?
No.
But there is. Okay, I remember vividly that we prepared a packet for Eat Your Kimchi, the YouTube channel Eat Your Kimchi, right?
Y'all watch that channel?
Yeah,
religiously
as
I did.
Yeah,
one of our friends was really obsessed with it, and she organized it.
Didn't they have like this fan meet in Europe?
I don't know. They traveled through Europe, but they didn't come.
I remember that they had a fan meet. I think it was in Amsterdam, and I was super jealous that I couldn't go and be there because I watched them religiously.
Yeah, same. Back then, yeah.
Oh my god.
When they had like K-pop Mondays or something like that.
Yeah,
K-pop
Music Mondays. K-pop Music Mondays. And then this is like my introduction to K-pop after I got into K-pop.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, this is how I got introduced to EXO or like this one group where they was like, "Let me roll down my sexy window" or something. Was it BTS?
No,
they kept doing that. And like the Mr. Brohoho room with like the brick walls.
Yeah.
So funny.
But they're like, anyway, so there's this one picture after the day.
I lost my pants. That was EXO. I love it. Oh my.
That channel was.
I remember I was so involved in getting the New East music videos on the K-pop Music Mondays, but they never got voted because like at the, like
yeah,
every time the voting closed, it got to second place.
Yeah.
And
but I think they did it at some point, right?
At some
point,
I think Yeboseyo.
Oh.
Yeboseyo.
Na 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 na.
Oh, that was like
the one with BAP where they were like bunnies are fluffy or like something, bunnies are puffy.
Yeah.
Or BAP.
I think the worst one was the time when Gangnam Style went into the charts because I think a New East song was in there as well and you couldn't compete to Gangnam Style. And that's why I was one of the first of my friend group to know Gangnam Style because I was notoriously voting for New East to get on K-pop Music Monday.
I got into K-pop, I think, 2 months before Gangnam Style was released.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was late.
I got into K-pop in 2012. So I think June 2012. And
it was
summer vacation.
Is that why you make fun of me for having the music taste of 2012?
Yeah, no. Maybe. I mean, it's my music taste.
Did it come out? No, but it came out in... Oh, no.
2012, right?
Yeah. No, it says released 2013.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it was like half a year before.
Okay.
So
it's a difficult
time.
It was
summer vacation.
Yeah.
But here it says 2012, so I don't know.
It's 2012.
I think so, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Literally, that's when I stopped listening. I was like, okay, we have reached the peak and it will go downhill from here.
And I was right. So it was summer vacation. We were super bored. And at one point, my friend texted me and she was like, "You know what I'm doing?" I'm like, "No. What are you doing?" She's like, "I'm watching Korean dramas." And I... I'm going to be honest here and pretty ashamed. I didn't know where Korea was at the time because my geography was that bad.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure I didn't know where Korea was either.
I honestly thought it was like near like Albania and stuff.
Okay, that is pretty off.
That is really off, but I thought it was somewhere there. And I was like, okay, that sounds like fun. So we rewatched the entire K-drama together for like 24 hours because it was 24 episodes.
Wow.
And we watched this drama for 24 hours.
Which one was it though?
You're Beautiful with like Lee Hyun-gi from FT Island and like Jonghyun from CNB.
FT Island is like one of the OG bands. Yeah.
So
it's
because
the second
of that,
one I ever watched.
Because of that, I was like, I like this blonde guy so much. I need to know who he is.
Hmm.
So I looked up his band, which is FT Island.
Yeah.
And he's obviously Lee Hyun-gi. And my first ever K-pop song, which is not from the drama, was Severely by FT/IU.
Oh no!
Yes! So that got me into K-pop. And nice. Honestly, not even like the music.
That's
not At even... that point, I was just like, I want to know what they're saying because I'm very like linguistic.
Yeah.
So I started learning the language at that point because I wanted to know what they were saying. And yeah. as a child, I'd always been like very interested in like made up languages. And since this one has a different alphabet, I was like very intrigued.
How old were you then?
Almost 16. I was still 15.
Okay. So around the... I mean, it's like 1 year later.
Yeah, 1 year later.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got into it because of K-drama, not because of K-pop. But I'm one of the few.
Okay, let me... like. Let me just finish the story that I was trying to
tell. Oh my god, I'm sorry, yes.
No, it's okay. Like, I don't even remember what I was... We were saying that we met those people there, and then we were trying to... Oh yeah, I just wanted to say that we were organizing a package for Eat Your Kimchi.
Yes.
And like, Eat Your Kimchi is literally like, if you are born before 2000s, I feel like it's part of your K-pop...
yes.
If you are a K-pop fan, it's part of your K-pop experience.
Part of your K-pop
history.
Journey.
Yeah,
it's
journey.
There. There's no denying.
That day, like, the day that we collected everything, there is a photo of us in the K-pop in the
bubble
tea store. I'm only
half in the photo though,
and like some of us are wearing the beanie, and like it's so funny. Like it's just I still had my
it's
like
funny,
emo bangs.
I never knew that you guys also watched Eat Your Kimchi, because by the time that I met Laura, it was already over.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because now it's like, I think they moved to Japan.
Yeah, they moved to Japan.
Yeah, they did.
Because of her disease or something. They wanted.
I mean,
to,
they
like,
wanted
see,
to travel.
Yeah, they wanted to travel before she couldn't travel anymore.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
Yeah. No, I think it's just because they changed the... Mostly for me, I think I stopped watching one.
They changed their content.
They changed their content, which is fine. And secondly, also because I stopped being in the K-pop atmosphere, fandom, after, like, I was 18, so it was, like, 2014, I think. Because I was just, like, it's getting too American, and I'm not here for it, you know? And I'm like, well, if I want to American pop, I can just listen to
American pop. 2014, I was so deep into EXO, there was no way you could pull me out.
Like, that's the thing, I didn't like SM bands, because I was always, like, the
same.
Like,
you like, the underdogs.
You know what I mean?
In 2012 and 2013, I think I knew every single Rookie band that
Holy
debuted.
Shit.
I was very into.
But
I
to
also
be fair, there were
like,
less Rookie bands that debuted then. Like
think,
right now, there's a new Rookie band every day.
I know.
Back then it was starting
to become more and more.
But
I really liked about Eat Your Kimchi as well is that they had K-pop Music Mondays, but they also had the indie ones.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's
well.
Why I actually learned the Korean alphabet back then because I wanted to get into the indie band. Because they just sounded like coffee shop music, and I was really into it.
Right.
So I learned the alphabet to be able to look up the bands.
Yeah, but they're.
This is
I
how
really
I
like
discovered
this.
Eric Nam, because he was on
oh,
Eat Your
really?
Kimchi for his solo debut.
Oh yeah, I
for
remember.
His debut, he went on to Eat Your Kimchi to promote his debut, and I was like, damn, his music is good. And like, I'm still a fan. So
Eric Nam, literally, I only met him through Tabo's podcast. Like, I knew him before. Like, I knew his name, but I don't listen to his music. So I was just like, who is this guy? And then like, his brother was on the show.
Yeah,
his
Eddie. Like Eddie or the other one.
Yeah, Eddie.
One of his brothers is his manager.
Eddie is his manager.
Okay.
He's also Tabo's manager.
They have this one. Yeah. I don't know which episode is it, but they. They have one episode about like racism, and it's so funny. Like Eddie, Eric, and Tabo, and I was like laughing so hard because
that episode
so
is really good.
Yeah, that's a really good episode if you want to get into the podcast. But yeah,
I do. I want to get into the podcast.
That's a good episode.
If I ever have time to listen to podcasts,
like just listen to it on your way to work or something.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah,
when I'm done with Potterless, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I still don't know who recommended it to me, by the way.
Yeah, it's on me.
Who was it?
Yeah. I was like, Maura's not that much into Harry Potter. I was
like,
so confused about that story.
I'm just like, I can remember someone telling me about it and being like, it's so cool, you have to watch it, but I don't remember who. And I want to like talk to that person and be like, yo, it's so good, but I don't know who it is.
Who it was.
Yeah, I have no memory.
You just
no
gotta tell all of your friends.
Yeah, just announce it publicly, like on your Instagram or something. And
So, FYI, I'm now listening to Pottermore. Potterless. Yeah, sorry.
That's funny.
I digress.
But, I don't know where we're going with all of this.
Tableau. Like podcasts.
I said that I was getting into the language because of India, indie music.
Literally, like, I only got into K-pop because of Mora. Like, she was the sole reason.
The thing is, you were the OG influencer. If I get interested in things, I'm obsessed.
Yeah, you know.
And I, like, I will read everything about it, and it can be over very soon. Mm. Or it
lasts.
Takes a while, or I will get back into it again, like I did with K-pop. Mm. And I remember I got into it, like, I got deep into it. And I remember I made drawings for you so you could learn the members of SHINee.
Yeah, you did.
Or the members. Yeah,
like the members caricatures.
Of 21.
I still have this one drawing of 17. I mean, he's not in 17, but he was in 17. Mingming.
Oh yeah, I remember.
I have this drawing because you were Mingming bias. Yeah, he's not in 17 right now.
Yeah, so maybe we should get into like how we met, because we met through K-pop.
Yeah,
and it was well. In.
Yep.
I was a very big fan of New East in 2012 because they debuted in 2012.
I haven't even heard of New East in March
2012. And I also liked After School, Orange Caramel, and Son Dambi, who were all part of the same label.
Cube? Yeah. It's Cube, right?
No, Pledis.
Oh, Pledis. Right?
They're all from the same label. And so when the label announced that they would have a new band, like a boy group, there were rumors about them being called like Tempest or something.
They
were photos, and there was a Christmas special where the other I think three guys who weren't in New East, they were in the video. Yeah. And they announced that there was going to be a live stream. And so I actually watched the
members were also in that one. Is it Yeboseyo? No, right?
They are in Face.
Face.
They are in.
One of them is being pushed. Yeah, he's like being beat up. It's like Seungchul, I guess.
Seungchul is the bully, and Doyun is the one being bullied, but he's not in 17. but the other members are actually in it as well.
Yeah, like I remember
some of the
Sun-young.
Other guys. Yeah, Seungyeong is in there. I don't remember who else. But also in Hello Venus music videos, who were also debuted in 2012. There was also Hansung was in there. Yeah. Seungyeong was in there. I think Mingyu was in there as well.
Mingyu was in there.
And so I knew that those guys would debut eventually. And so I watched the very first episode of the of 17 TV, which was, I think, on Christmas 2012. And
you
so
really
I changed.
Than I was.
Yeah, I was like in it from the start, which is why I find it so funny when people are like, you know, back in the day, and they're like debut era. I'm like, yeah, I was pre-debut.
Yeah, I mean, even I was pre-debut, but I wasn't that pre-debut.
Yeah, no, I was there from the start, and I think in early 2013 is when I changed my Tumblr name. From some, my first, like, my name on Tumblr was something else. It was like an indie, Korean indie band reference. And then I changed it to Miao Ming or something. Like, Miao Ming or something like that.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, like, the one guy from 17,
Ming Ming.
I was like, it was something with
a
Miao.
And
Yeah, I know.
Miao Ming.
And you were Mrs. Wristband because
I don't even remember how I got into 17, but I got into it so deep that I renamed my Tumblr to Mrs. Wristband,
which was the nickname for Mingyu back
then.
Yeah,
he was Mr. Wristband, and they were like, because they all had nicknames. They were like Mr. Wristband, Mr. Headphone, Mr. Beanie.
Because when the live stream started, they didn't give out the names of the members.
Yeah.
They all had like a characteristic, like they're Mingyu. You had a wristband, so he was Mr. Wristband. There was
DK had a
cap,
Mr. Beanie.
And so he was Mr. Hat. And I was like, his name, like, he's wearing a cap, not a hat.
Junhui was like Mr. Headphones. I remember that. There was one.
Like a few days ago or like a month ago, one of my friends who's really into K-pop, I got her into 17 as well back then,
save?
Okay, for some reason the recording just stopped.
I don't know where we let off.
No, it's fine. Like, just continue talking.
Yeah, so a few years ago, last year or something. 2 years? Maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
I wanted to find the OG 17 friends, like, I don't know, there were only like 20 of us.
Yeah,
on
you
Tumblr
have to
anyway.
You have to think about the fact that, I mean, there might have been Korean fans, but the international fan base,
yeah,
and on Tumblr or Twitter, because I was also active on Twitter.
Yeah, same.
There were like 20 people. We had matching icons back then.
Yeah, and
at
like,
least on Twitter.
There were like
so.
17 there were no, Minghao wasn't, the 8 wasn't.
Minghao
part
wasn't
of it
there.
Yet. Yeah, but all
it was
the
less
others
than
were
17.
There. No, cuz you have to like, I think we're like 15 of them, because you also have to count in like Doyun and Mingming.
Yeah, yeah, it was
Samuel.
Less than 17, but it was
yeah, less than 17.
Because
but
we had a lot of questions, because
yes,
it wasn't sure what the concept was going to be.
Yeah.
We knew the name was going to be 17, but it wasn't sure why it's 17. Like, what? Like, I think there was like.
I think Pletus originally planned to have 17 members,
yeah,
but then like Sammy and Doyun and Mingming just like didn't make the cut.
There was another one, like Dotin or something. Dongtin?
Yeah, but he was like added like at a later time and then dropped.
Yeah, and then he left again. So
yeah,
it wasn't sure if they would have like.
Yeah.
What's the concept? Why
yeah,
why it would be 17? But
yes,
it was sure that
so,
they
like,
were going to be.
So like literally, there were at least 15 of us who had like the Mrs. something. There was.
I was none of them though.
I was Mrs. Risben. I don't know how I managed to snatch that name, but I did.
You were one of the early girls.
So there was like not that many of us. So I was like messaging old people that I had messaged on Tumblr and being like, I don't know if you remember me, but I used to be Mrs. Ruth's band.
Yeah.
Did you used to be one of the fans? And then she actually replied to me. So
oh,
she,
yeah,
I know she's still somewhere in my Tumblr DMs.
Wow.
Yeah, she's still in there.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart.
She was so sweet.
She was super sweet. It was like the three of us. And
yeah,
then
I remember.
I talked to her and I was like, I don't know if you remember me. She was like, yeah, you were super popular. And I was like, me?
And see, we were all not popular.
And we were all not popular because we were 17 blocks, you know.
Yeah, 17 wasn't popular back then. 17
yeah,
didn't get popular until like their second comeback or something.
Yeah. Also, you were, by the way, my only and first online friend ever.
Oh my god.
Oh no, not the only one, but the only one I still talk to and
yeah,
I have met in real life.
I remember back in, you know, back in the day when we started talking, and at some point you were like, I always wanted to have a pen pal.
Yeah.
And I had like flashbacks to being a child and moving and my best friend wanting to write letters. And our friendship fading away because I was
yo,
so bad at writing
yo,
letters.
Actually,
and I was like, she's gonna hate me because
no,
I'm not gonna be good at writing letters.
We actually wrote letters for, I think, a full 2 years.
Yeah, I was so, so invested in keeping this friendship alive.
Same. And then at some...
You can tell the rest.
Ah.
Go ahead.
Ah.
Ah. I just need to check something. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so at some point I think we stopped talking online and we communicated
solely
through the letters.
Through letters. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I went to university and then we stopped talking for a while. I like it. Like, we didn't stop talking, but like less.
Mm.
Yeah, I think like in the beginning when uni started, we were still talking.
Yeah.
But second semester, I think, was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know why we stopped talking at that point.
I think
one of the reasons was because I was so into K-pop and 17, especially in 2013, and then in 2014-15 I kind of stopped listening to K-pop just because the crowd I was like the K-pop crowd I was with.
I get that.
I couldn't relate to them anymore because they
literally
were really, they were into BTS, which, you know, no
it's
judgment.
Fine, yeah.
It's fine, but I also couldn't, they were also really into SM bands, which is also fine, but I just couldn't relate to them because it was very, like a heteronormative group.
Mm.
And so they were really into the boy groups.
Pining
like
over the boys.
Pining over the boys, which, you know, I also get as teenage girls.
Yeah. That was me.
But also, I like girl groups a lot,
yeah,
and no one appreciated girls.
No, I loved girl groups so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think it...
By solidarity.
I mean,
I think one of the reasons I left the K-pop fandom was like, one, I mean, I said this before, but it was one, like, the Americanization of the whole K-pop industry. Like,
yeah,
I felt like the sounds of the whole industry was changing because all the popular bands were catering
trying to get into the American international market. Like, yeah. I remember Girls' Generation had The Boys, which was debuting in America.
Yeah.
Wonder Girls were trying to get into the American market.
But BTS was actually the one who I think catalyzed the whole process, which was like also 2014.
Yeah, but they didn't really start
Gangnam Style.
And yeah, I mean, BTS really started as like a Korean, like,
no,
it didn't,
for sure. But
songs were also very for the Korean market.
Yeah,
but that was like 2014, 15, right?
That's when we stopped.
I stopped listening to it. But that was one of the... And the other reason was because the fandom just scared me.
Yeah.
Like, the K-pop fandom in general, I was just like, what the fuck is wrong with... Like, I mean, like, I'm not saying all K-pop fans are like this. No. But there was some, like, crazy-ass fans. And, like, every time... You know what haunts me is that one video of the... Of, like, what are they called? The Korean...
Saseng fans.
Like, a Saseng fan camera who, like, chases Taemin. And he just runs for his life.
So crazy.
And I was like, holy shit.
Like, they have tried to poison idols.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy. Why would you want to poison the one you're, like, supporting?
Yeah, that was one of the reasons. Like, that was one of the... I think, like, the main reason I left was because I was like, I don't want to be, like, in this fan... In a toxic fandom that, like, is so crazy about them, about their idols, that they, you know, would literally do these harmful things. And also because in the group that I was in, like, especially my, because I got into a cover group, there were two girls who were like, two women who were like 30, and we were like under 20, and I'm like, you're being friends with that? Like, that's kind of strange, you know? I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I don't want to be 30 and, like,
Hardly imagine being 30 and still being so freaked out about K-pop. No, I hang out with 17-year-olds.
Yeah, so I was like, this is making me uncomfortable, and I'm gonna leave.
There were a lot of, like, not a lot of them, but some of the girls were really into the, oh, I want to have a Korean boyfriend, or I want to have an Asian boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I, like, back then I didn't really understand why it made me so uncomfortable, but I was just like, I don't know how to deal with this.
Yeah. Now that you said it, with the heteronormativity thing, I think that was...
I felt very repulsed. like alienated from the group, just because I just couldn't relate to the thirsting over the man. Like, I totally, like, a lot of them are hot, and I can appreciate it. But also, I don't know, the way they talked about them, I didn't feel really...
The thing is, like, I understand, but, like, I was very EXO-biased, and, like, my bias is Kyungsoo.
You kind of thirst over Kyungsoo.
I never thirsted over him. I was just like, you know what, this is the kind of man I want to marry. Like, he's just perfect, in essence.
Yeah.
And...
But you're not gonna, like, objectify him.
No, like, I never objectified him. I was like, this is the most handsome man I've ever seen, but that was it.
He's a decent guy, he can cook, he can act.
I actually left the EXO fandom for a while when, at first, Chris left, and I was like, hurt.
Maybe, yeah.
And then Luhan and Tao left, and I realized that I was way too affected by boys on the other side of the world, who I did not know personally, and I was like, yo, I'm gonna, like, slow down and, like, reassess how I feel about
how
this.
How old were you back home?
17, almost 18. Yeah. That was my first year of university, first semester, when Luhan or Tao left.
Crazy to think that, like, 6 years ago, we were like these girls. We were like,
I remember, like, when Love Me Right came out, and I was like, holy shit, I need to stream this song. Like, now I'm just like,
I will listen to this on Spotify, but I'm not going to contribute.
Okay, listen to me. Look me in the eye.
This one, okay, I know what she's going to say.
No, look me in the eye and tell me that Wolf is a good song, because I was fighting you.
But I remember when they came back, I was just so happy that they came back.
No, I understand that. Okay, I can understand that, but all the girls in my cover group,
No,
they were like, I was like very obsessed with Pledis, right? So I was very into New East and 17, and so I was, but EXO was kind of the rival, you know what I mean?
EXO,
so they were all, yeah, they were all into EXO, and then Wolf came out, and they were like, I remember half the year
before Wolf was released, the demo was leaked, right? Yeah. Do y'all remember that?
I remember
and
that.
And I remember listening to it and being like, do this. Why are they like not singing on pitch? Why are they so off pitch?
Sam, literally.
And then when they released
it's the beginning of noise music.
And then I listened.
It is.
Yes, and I remember listening to the song. And I was like, no, they actually released this shit. I was so angry.
Wolf is the reason why I wasn't an EXO stan back then.
Sam,
because I loved What Is Love. I actually own their debut mini album.
Yeah.
But then they came back with Wolf, and I was like, I can't.
Wolf was so bad.
It was so bad.
But people were hyping it. People were voting for it. And
I was hyping it. I admit, I was hyping it, but now I'm like, no.
Okay, but that was my problem. And again, this is one of the three reasons that I have the K-pop fandom, because people were like, this is so good. Like, because they loved EXO, and I was like, this is bad. And they were like, voting for it. And I was like, fam, you cannot, like, just because you like the band, like, I could admit that, you know, New East's, like,
not all of their songs are good.
Sleepwalking, I think.
Sleepwalking, yeah.
Was bad. Like, I can admit that, even though I love them to pieces, but it was just bad. And
I kind of was like, I don't like this song. Yeah. But it was the only other song beside the Mama album, so, you know, I had to take what I could get.
Growl, you know, Growl was good.
But Growl is also their breakthrough.
Yeah, Growl is
like, but Wolf was just bad.
Like, they broke records with Growl, you know? Yeah. It's what made them EXO.
It's what makes them, like, the national sweethearts.
And it still kind of hurts me that it's now BTS and, like, new fans forget about EXO's existence.
Okay, but is BTS, like, the national treasure? Because to me, it seems like BTS is, like, the
international treasure.
Yeah, it's like they sent BTS overseas to promote Korea, whereas EXO is, like, in Korea to promote Korea.
Interesting,
but I'm not that deep into it anymore, so I don't know. But like, that's why, like, EXO was at the Olympics. They were there when Trump was in Korea. They sent EXO.
I was super proud when they were at the Olympics, because back then BTS was already like really popular, but they still sent EXO, and I was like, yeah.
And also, like, recently, like last year, I think, when Stranger Things season 2 came out, there is a Netflix EXO thing where Jongin and Suho teach the Stranger Kids how to dance to Love Shot.
Do you guys remember that one EXO drama?
No,
let's not talk about it. Okay, listen, I don't really, I never really got into K-dramas that much, but I did watch that K-drama.
It was so bad.
I was so annoyed by her.
I was like, girl, stop blushing and start talking.
I think I only watched 10
also,
minutes
like,
of that.
Why did they choose Kyungsu as the love interest?
let's not talk
because
about
he's
it.
The actor.
Because he's the actor, yeah.
Yeah, it was the start of Kyungsu.
He has the range.
He does, though.
I recently watched Swing Kids. It has nothing to do with K-pop,
It has to do with K-pop because Do Kyung-soo is in it, and Do Kyung-soo is the Korean singer who is also an actor, and he's the only relevant singer-actor, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you should definitely watch Swing Kids if you can, because it's so good.
He has the range.
Have to watch it.
It made me cry.
But I know he has the range.
It's literally that, you know that TikTok?
My husband, too.
Do you know the TikTok sound? It's like, do 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 do. That is the movie.
You know what? I'm the one who sent it to Mora, because Mora couldn't find it to send it to you.
Yeah,
true. Literally, she asked me, and I was like, I will find it for her, and I couldn't. And I was like, I'm going to ask John.
And I had it within 10 minutes.
Google. I love you. Thank you.
You're the Capricorn. So I was like, she will know how to find this.
I did.
I literally
just was like, Google TikTok sounds origin, and then damn it, there it was. The first result.
You know how to find your shit.
Yeah.
So there is that. Mm. But okay, so basically, I don't know if this was clear from our stories, but so me and Mora became friends through K-pop. Like, we got closer through K-pop because you showed me K-pop, and then that's And then we found our like quote unquote group.
Yeah, Eileen showed me that she is interested in what I'm showing to her. Yeah. So I was like, I'm gonna keep showing her. And then she got interested in it.
I was such a horror.
So we became close friends because I was like, she actually listens to me.
Yeah.
And I was like,
a concept. What? I remember then, in our early letters when you talked about Eileen, you were always so in awe of her.
Really?
You were always like, I have this friend and she's my best friend and I love her so much. And she was so nice to me when I got to Hanover, and like, it's just, I keep remembering.
That's why. So cute. I don't know. Yeah. I'm crying.
That's why, like, the first time we met. I knew we met when you went to the concert that one time, the first time I met Maura in real life.
Yeah.
But I know the time where you invited me for the video project for Maura's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember thinking, I have to behave because this is Maura's best friend. And she has to like me. Mm. That was so important to me because you were so important to Maura.
Yeah, same. Like, she kept talking about you and I was like, wow.
I'm gonna... you were so important to me.
I was like, I'm going to meet her best panpa. Like, let's go. And like, it was, so you guys met through Tumblr.
Yeah.
Through Tumblr. Like 17 fandom, right?
Yeah, 17 fandom.
Okay. Yeah. But when they started out,
Back in the pre-debut 17 TV era.
But so, and then I moved to Belgium, which was the funny part because you lived in Belgium. You are from Belgium.
I'm a Belgian.
And then
person.
Maura was like, I have this friend in Belgium, and then that's how we met, basically. And then I don't know if we met before I made the video for Maura.
We met for the one concert in Antwerp.
Yeah, you went to that one concert in Antwerp.
It has nothing to do with K-pop, but...
That was the very first time Maura and I met in real life. And I remember us being like, we need to meet in Starbucks because it's a public place. So we both know we're not catfish. even though we had already video called.
And letters.
But still...
I had your address, but we... Yeah.
But still, we were like... We need to meet in a public place.
Yeah, but also because we went to Antwerp for a concert. Yeah. And so it made sense to meet in the center and then, spend time together.
Yeah.
And we also went to go get bubble tea.
Yeah, yes. I remember this because you were like, there's this shop, 85.
Y'all know it.
Yeah,
because it was like a revelation for me when that happened. Because I knew bubble tea through K-dramas and Korean culture,
which was so funny because we literally bonded over being together. Like, I remember there was a time where we would go to the bubble tea shop every single day after
or like
school.
Every other day at least.
My first year of university, that was my life.
This was us in high school. Like, we were like high school, 15. Yeah. I think
15, 16.
And I don't think that was healthy.
No.
But also, like, my entire dance group I dance with now, I met back in 2013 or 2012 even, I think, through K-pop, because I was in a K-pop group on Facebook. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
And there were just people asking, like, yo, we need new members for Girls' Generation. Anyone who wants to join. I was like, I don't know anyone in real life who listens to K-pop, so I need to like grab this opportunity. So I joined them, and I mean, two of those girls I still talk to.
Yeah.
Like, one of them is still, no, two of them are still in my dance group right now. So K-pop really gave me so many new friends, so many new opportunities. Like, I would never have tried dancing as much as I do now if it weren't for K-pop.
Yeah.
And just, trying to find my own style, because after I listened to FT Island, my first other my actual K-pop song was like JoJo from SHINee.
JoJo, I love that song so much.
It was in the YouTube, because it's a B-side.
It was in the YouTube recommended, and I had no idea who SHINee were. I didn't want to get into Super Junior or Girls' Generation.
Oh,
there were too many members.
Yeah,
and I mean, were too choppy.
Yeah.
SHINee was the next best thing.
Yeah, they're just five,
Dude. Key changed my life.
How did Key change your life?
I don't know. He was my bias.
Oh,
that makes sense, though. I loved him.
He was my bias, still.
I loved him because I can't sing. And I'm like...
He's so funny.
You are a liar.
He's so, like, himself.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, this is a lot. Like, it changed my view of, like, so many things. Just Key existing.
Yeah.
He changed my life.
I think, like, in retrospective... Like, SHINee was important to me because I'm like, yeah, they're gay. Like, I don't have like two of their members at least. I was like, he's a bisexual icon, even 16. Though he's
not, you know, 16 year old me was still not. Even though I already knew I was bisexual at 16.
You knew? I only knew when I was subconsciously, probably.
Yeah, I knew. Subconsciously. Because at one point I came out on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah. And then the girl who I had kissed in elementary school and made me like realize things. She was like, why did you put that on Facebook? I was like, because I'm bi. And she's like, but why do you put it on Facebook? I'm like, because I want people to know.
Literally, I think it's so funny. Anyway,
but then I deleted that off Facebook. Mm. But then still, some weird part of me was like, he's not gay, he's just himself. And I'm like,
he's a bisexual icon.
Now I'm
to
just
me.
Like, Charlotte, what were you denying?
Yeah. But that's I only came out to myself when I was 19. Mm. But in retrospective, I'm like, all of these girl bands, I was like, like after school, I'm like, brown eyed girls, I'm like,
orange caramel.
They make me realize things like
even after putting it on Facebook, like I deleted that post and I was like, no, never mind, I take it back. Until
because that's how it works, right?
until I met you and B in Brussels, and B was like, are you bisexual? And I was like,
maybe so.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Why are you asking me? No one's ever asked me before, and it made me think.
Yeah, I think, K-pop, for me, the reason why I'm very fond of K-pop still, even though there is a lot of negative aspects for it.
Yeah.
Of it for me, not only because the industry is fucked up.
Yeah.
It is, you cannot sugarcoat that shit for me.
Yeah, we cannot argue.
No. And that was also one of the reasons I was like, you know what, never mind. But it ultimately formed the friendships that, you know, made me the person that I am today.
Mm.
Especially you, but also Charlie, but also B, all of these. And then I was also in this dance group for a while, which also made me realize that, maybe I can dance,
Oh, by the way, we still have to film that Mamamoo hip cover.
I know! Don't even remind me. I'm so we need to film it before you.
I still have to learn the dance first.
Same. I know 1 minute, but anyway.
I don't even know that.
But it just ultimately, even though I'm not as I will listen to a few songs here and there, whatever you send my way.
I'm gonna send her the 17 songs and she's gonna be
I'd be left and right, left and right, left and right, river, river. I will listen to some songs, but I'm not really into the fandom anymore, but still I will always appreciate the fact that the people that I have met through K-pop made me who I am today.
Yes.
I
appreciate all the people I met through K-pop. They're still my friends until today, and I've been into K-pop for 8 years and it's what? But I'm not into the fandoms anymore. I don't go on Tumblr anymore. I don't try to meet new people anymore.
Same.
Over that. But
also because we're older. I feel like all the new fans are 12, and I'm
also because from 12 to 16, there's no.
They just have a different taste in music as well. But what I wanted to say as well is that I feel like if I think about your development as a person, I feel like you got a lot of confidence from being in a dance group.
Yes, 100%. That's why I
like
loved
that's
dancing.
Why for me, in the beginning of our friendship and the K-pop phase of our friendship, in the beginning I felt like I was the protagonist. Kind of. But it for me it really shifted towards you because you kind of blossomed. Not as the superior to K-pop fan or something, but you just started standing up for yourself, finding yourself. And I was like, you know what? I didn't even feel threatened by it. I was just I love to see it. It's so good. And that's why I was like, you know, I can't stop back. She can take the center stage.
That's a good thing about the people I met through K-pop and I still talk to right now.
Mm.
I just saw them evolve and grow. And I just loved seeing it. We loved each other. We respected each other because a lot of us were back then, especially, the ones who like K-pop were the ones who were not the mainstream people, who were not popular, and it was a way of finding our identity.
Yeah.
For me at least, that was a way of finding my identity and finding who I was, and I loved seeing that in the friends I made through K-pop as well.
I remember, it's so funny that you say that, because I remember, like, when we started going to K-pop K-pop contests, cover competitions, you know? Mm. And Mora was there, like, not in the very beginning, but,
yeah,
like,
I didn't dance, by the way. Like, no, just FYI, I cannot dance. But I wasn't in the dance group. I was just friends with the dancers.
Yeah, and you would be there to support us. And I think that was so sweet of you to, like, come along. And, like, you and B, I think, both.
Yeah.
And by the time that you actually started coming to the dance competitions, I already, like, developed as a dancer as well. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying I'm a good dancer. Like, there's better dancers than me.
You
but
you are a good dancer.
Debatable, but
no.
I think one of the last things I danced was like
BAP one shot.
BAP one shot, yeah.
Oh my god,
that was
yes.
one of my favorite choreos, because it was just like this.
Yeah.
They had the push-ups hitting the floor as well.
Yeah, yeah, they had like push-ups and
one shot.
I still can.
You only got one chance, you know.
Yeah, and I was one of the I don't remember his name, but I was like the main vocalist who has the high note at one point.
No, not
Daehyun.
I think so. And like I don't know, when I watched that. Because there's a video of that performance, like, versus the first performance that we had. I'm like, yeah, I can see that I have gained confidence through dancing K-pop. Like, and I mean, it could have been any other dance, but it was, in this case, K-pop. And, like, so I will always have that. You know, for me, when I hear these songs, like, I made a K-pop classics playlist, and, like...
Same! I have this K-pop nostalgia playlist on Spotify.
And I, like, every time I put it on, I'm like, yeah, let's go!
Yeah. I also think what's special about K-pop is that when you start dancing K-pop dances, it's not because your parents push you to it, or like no one pushes you.
No one tells you to
get
do that.
Into K-pop, or because you organize.
In fact, everyone discourages you.
Yeah,
especially back then.
Yeah. But everyone like you organize everything yourself. Yeah. You make like at least
you take
like,
charge.
Yeah. Yeah. You actually like even if you have a group and there's a lot of people like. You will have something
have
to do other than just dance. Yeah. You have to practice. You have to find out how to film these things. You have to find out how to do the moves right. You have to find out how to mirror videos if it's not on YouTube yet.
Like there's a lot of independence going on.
Yeah, you have to actually take charge. Yeah.
It was through K-pop that I actually like got to know people that were not in my school and not in my class.
Yeah.
And suddenly I was like telling my parents like, you know, can I travel to that city for, you know, I have to go dance? And they were like, you have friends outside of school? Like, yeah.
My parents did not know me.
Yeah.
They didn't even, and I danced for 3 years, okay? Like, they did not once ask me about my dancing. They did not
if we make a new dance cover, still, even if it's, like, decent, and not just, like, a one-minute thing for Instagram, but if it's, like, a full cover with, like, someone who came to film for us, I'll try to show my dad, and he'll be like, ah, your noise music. Turn it off, and I'm like... Bad. I'd love this. Yeah. And he's just like, I don't care.
Yeah, at some point my dad was like, are you still into that
Asian
music?
Right?
We love supportive parents, I guess.
My parents didn't even come to my play. Like, my dad didn't even come to my play.
Yeah, this is getting... back into K-pop.
Yeah, okay, K-pop.
What I wanted to say as well is that, you know, after... I don't know, second semester university or something, like, you also left, you studied abroad, you weren't really into 17 anymore,
not at all.
I was abroad, and we kind of lost touch, like, not completely, but we didn't talk as regularly as
we
did.
We also stopped writing letters, because everyone was so busy, like, you were in Dublin, honestly, at some point, I didn't even know you were in Dublin, like, Mara's in Dublin. I was like, really?
Yeah, it was complicated times, and I was also like not in the best headspace for a while, and then you were gone for a year.
I still
think it was so funny that in the end, like, we kind of reconnected, but it wasn't through K-pop, but now, like, we just, I got back into it, and we just kept talking, because you got into NCT at some point, and I just, I cannot listen to them, I cannot, but, I don't know, I kind of started listening to EXO for some reason, I rediscovered Taemin. like his solos, and I was like, this is actually really good. I think he released Wand, and I was like, this is really good. And then I listened to his old songs, and then I got into EXO again, and I was like, actually, like, after Wolf, like, if I skip, like, a few of their songs, they actually released good stuff. And I asked my friend, I was like, you know, this is actually good.
But this is why I was so mad, because I'm like, they had good songs on the album, but they were all like, Wolf. I'm like, no!
Dude, the B-sides were gold.
Yeah. Were, again, Growl. Like, they Growl had, was God the... Damn Wolf. If Growl
that was the
repackaged
song.
They had this one song.
But even like Black Pearl, like Baby Don't Cry.
Baby Don't Cry. I cried when Baby Don't Cry was released.
Same.
My Lady. My lady.
And like Kyungsoo's. I was waiting for that so long.
Kyungsoo's showing me this. Kyungsoo's vocals in the beginning of My Lady.
I listen to this every day. I listen to this every day. I love this song so much. And so I got back into K-pop through like rediscovering old songs, and I still like most of the new comebacks from bands or the newer bands I cannot listen to, because it's all very either they yell or they're like noise music,
but,
and it's just not my
point where you were very Harry Styles. Like, we, like, when I got back from China, I was like, I need to talk to Mora more, because I don't want to lose this friendship. And, like, even though we kind of, like, disassociated on interest for a while, I was still like, okay, I'm going to be interested in what she's interested in, because it was such a precious friendship to me.
That is so funny.
Like, it's so funny, huh?
No, because, you know, like, yeah, I had my, like, One Direction Harry Styles phase, because he released his first album, and it's a really good album. The second one, we're not going to talk about. I don't want to talk about it. But the first album was really good, and I was really into it. But then, like, you know, you're into NCT, and I'm not, but I was like, she's into it, so I'm going to, you know, look into it. And that's like, and then you asked me to look at the birth charts, and we kind of found a way to connect our interests, because I was into astrology and she's into NCT, so I was like, I'm gonna look at their birth charts.
And because
this only started because earlier this year
on January 1st, by the way,
she, like, we were in the city center and I said something, I don't even know what I said, but she said, this gives me 10 vibes. And I was like, I don't know what this means. And then she was like, yeah, he's a member of NCT. And but so just, I was like, okay, I have to Google this man.
I think it is also a lot of, like, through Eileen that we stayed connected, even though we didn't talk, because Eileen lives in Brussels as well. So it was very easy to be
as
like...
As well, as if you were living in
Belgium. No, I mean Belgium. I mean, Eileen lives in Belgium as well. So it made it very easy for me to be like, hey, like, we met up.
Yeah, we met up.
I was jealous. I was like, I shouldn't be, because, you know, I still have the gratification of being able to say that you guys met through me. But I was like, I don't vibe with the fact that you guys meet more often than I do.
But that's also the why.
That sounds like a you problem to me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kidding.
No, but like when, because Eileen and I met on my birthday as well.
Oh, yeah,
and then when you were here, like when you were here, I would like jump at the chance to see you.
Yeah.
But obviously,
and I was
it's
always, I would always tell you, like, even if she didn't, I mean, she would tell you as well, but I would be like, hey, Eileen,
yeah, Mara's coming. You want to come? And then sometimes it would work out and sometimes it wouldn't. And now on New Year's.
Yeah, New Year's, we saw each other. Yeah. And she said that, and I was like, I don't know this man, but I have to look him up. And then it turned out that he's a Pisces. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I have to Google his birth chart, because I just have to. And it turned out that he's a Pisces with a Gemini moon, and I have a Gemini moon, and my ascendant is a Pisces. So I was like, I understand why she says I have his vibes. And so I was like texting her saying, okay, I kind of get it. And then we started talking about this band that I really don't care about.
But okay. Like,
and now I am, like, I can say, like, I don't listen to their music, but I secondhand stan them, because I know that
music.
Charlotte loves them. And I just love that Charlotte loves them. So I kind of love them, but not really, but I do.
Like, Mara will deny this, but she's actually really good at making conversation with people, because you will...
find a way to connect other people's interests to your interests.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you will make conversation. Like, and I cannot do that. So her doing that we're friends because I did not know
how to talk. But then how did we get along? Because I don't think we ever talked about K-pop
But
anyways.
We are both earth signs.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
So we're like,
you're a Taurus, moon, she's a Taurus.
And we will be like, we always talked about our, like, what is happening in our life and the drama and, like, emotions. And, like, we would just be, like, a therapist for each other, basically. Like,
dude, for real, though. We were each other's therapists every time we met. Like, everything, I could just unload everything.
Yeah, but it's also, I think it was freeing on one hand because I didn't know your friend circle.
Exactly.
So I was, like, just an outsider. And same for you. So we were just like, yeah, this happened. Yeah. Like, fuck this, you know? Like, that's how we connected.
True.
But for Mara and me, I was like, she was driving the friendship in the beginning, at least, and like
I don't like hearing myself talk but I cannot help myself. Like, once I get started, I cannot stop, especially if it's like one of my special or interests or whatever you want to call it. I'll just start, and sometimes I even realize that I should stop talking, but I just cannot. So I just keep on talking and talking. And with some people it doesn't work, but if you have people who actually care about you, then they're gonna be like, okay, we're just gonna let her talk. So sometimes I still ramble about 17 to Eileen
all the time. But like, going 17, you made me watch the show since you came over.
I would have watched it alone.
But I say made me watch, but I was actually, I mean, I wanted to watch it as well because you kept
texting her every week about going 17 ever since quarantine started.
Yeah, and I was like, you know what? Let me watch this. Like, because, you know, like, we don't really like men, but she kept being like, these men are so funny, you know? So I was like, there has to be something, because I trust your opinion.
Yeah.
And then, like, we watched it, and I thought it was so hilarious.
Because,
like,
they're just boys.
They're just boys being dudes, you know?
I can't accept that in reality, if you put them into the real world with, like, actual people and women that they might,
like,
be assholes and misogynists.
The fact that my friend went to high school with him and he's like, Mingyu was like an asshole. And I'm just like, that was my bias.
I like to be
and now it's like my entire vision of him is, like, ruined because I trust my real life friend more than I trust his
to be blissfully
of course
aware.
That's
like
how it should be.
I like to be blissfully unaware of that. Like, I keep thinking about it, but I try to forget about it, because in the, you know, isolation of just having the
boys
interacting with each other without any, like, women or people from the outside world being involved, they're so funny, and they keep roasting him especially. Like, they roast him so hard every single episode. Like,
I love that.
He
deserves it.
There's this running gag, like, since the beginning of the year, I think. They keep having running jokes on going 17, and there's the running joke that he is rich and has, like, 4 convenience stores that he owns, and they keep calling him, like, CEO Mingyu or something.
That was so crazy.
And it's just because of the insomnia episode where he, like, he was supposed to sleep and they were supposed to trash talk him, and one of them was like, can we make up facts about you? And he was like, yeah, sure. And then they were like, yeah, he's, like, so loaded and stuff, and they kept saying, like, how rich he was. And he was just lying there trying not to laugh. It was so funny, but they just roast him every single episode.
Okay, so before I think we will have to, like, round it up. But I wanted to ask, so if you would have to, put, like, milestones in your K-pop lifestyle, I guess, I don't know how to call it, but your K-pop experience, which 3 songs would you choose to, like, describe your K-pop experience?
Definitely FT Island Severely.
Yeah, of course.
Because also
I
went to K-Con in 2016 in Paris, and FT Island was there. They actually played that song, so I was like, holy shit, this is my first, this journey.
Yes.
So FT Island Severely. I'm gonna think about the second two.
Yes. No, like, okay. That's the first song that you basically got into, right? Is there, like, okay, what is 2 and 3?
You have to think about it.
Okay. I think I would say for my first one, I have to give it to Replay, even though it wasn't the one that really got me into it.
Yeah.
But it's the one, for me, it's an evergreen.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, especially, we didn't really get into this, and we maybe we shouldn't, but with Jonghyun passing, a lot of my friends who are into K-pop stopped listening to Shiny because of that, because they say they cannot listen to his voice or their songs without crying. And for me, like, that was a really hard year because my grandma also died. And I still, like, I'm still into Shiny, and I kind of got back into them as well. And I don't know, they give me a lot of comfort. And to me, especially Replay is one of those songs that I can always go back to, and it, I never get tired of it. Where there, like, whereas there's like Ring Ding Dong, where I'm like, oh god. Like, if I listen to it once every year, I'm like, this goes so hard. But if I listen to it too much, it's just bad.
Shiny has that one song, Honesty?
That song is so good.
That was really good.
Like, I would have said You, which is also on, like, the
same album,
Y-O-U, the Year of Us. But I, like, it would be, I found it way later.
Yeah.
But Replay is, like, the evergreen for me.
Okay, since you said Replay, and we talked about UKISS before, I'm going to say G.
G.
By Girls' Generation.
G,
that one. Everyone knew the song. Like, everyone, and everyone would go so hard in the Bibbly store, I remember.
I thought it was their debut song for so long.
Is it not
their debut song? No. Into the New World is the one.
That one makes me cry, by the way.
I'm gonna pick Into the New World as my second song, because it is the song that I first danced with my dance group. It's Into the New World, and whenever I hear it still, I get all these emotions, because I met these wonderful people.
It makes me choke up.
Yeah. I'm gonna pick that as my second song. Generation Into the New World.
There is, like, a, I don't know if this counts as K-pop. It should probably.
Is it Korean?
Yeah, it's.
Is it pop?
Is it K-indie?
It's called The Day Before by Nell.
Oh yeah.
So it's a band, but I'm pretty sure it was popular, kind of. And for me, it's a song that I kind of discovered for myself, and I think a lot of people knew the song, but nobody really talked about it because it's not upbeat. It's it wasn't really.
It's more like.
It's not a boy band. It's kind of indie, but not really. And I don't know. I'm a person that really likes dramatic songs, and I still think about this song, and I still listen to it so much because it moved me so much. And I don't speak Korean, but the lyrics also, I don't know, I think about them all the time.
Yeah.
Because it, like, at the time I was like, this is some type of emotion that I will feel at some point in my life. And I'm so glad that I found this song.
To describe the emotion.
To be able, like, at some point be like, oh yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it meant something to me back then, and it still means something to me now.
Yeah.
What about you, Aileen?
G is my second, but my first
G's
one.
First.
My second one, I think, would be Face by New East, because
that was the one
that we connected on, because we were the only ones who were,
we were the only ones who didn't stan EXO.
Who didn't stan EXO in the group from the bubble tea store, and like that was the thing where we were like became a unit, you know? Yeah. We were like, yeah, no, that's Action. Wait, how did Face go?
You sound like we're singing like Schlager.
A little bit, but I think that was like,
yeah,
that was definitely like,
we connected over that.
Yeah, that was definitely very, very important to me. Even though G and Face are so far apart from each other,
that's
like
funny.
it's yeah, definitely. I have to think about my third one very hard because
there's
so many.
So there's difficult. So many songs.
Oh my god! Did you already say your second one?
No. Yeah, Into the New World.
Into
and
the New World.
Really,
yeah,
by FT Island.
Yeah. Okay, wait.
I don't know what my third one is because
there's so many.
I feel like I have the obligation of saying a 17 song, but for me, I don't have a favorite 17 song. They're just I just love them.
I'm gonna say
I also don't have a favorite member because they're all my homies, and
they're
they have bad songs or they have songs I don't vibe with, but they're my bros, and I just appreciate them because I got into them in high school.
Yeah.
And then I had my phase where I didn't listen to K-pop for a while. To me, they feel like my high school friends that I never see. But like once they release a new song or a new album, I'm like,
homies back at it again with that new track, and like left and right.
It's such a good song. Like there was I don't know, the third one is so hard for me because we also bonded over Epic High a lot because it was one of those indie, like it's not really indie,
but it's not classic but it's pop not, music.
Exactly. It's
kind of hip hop.
But I like, you know, like I mean, yeah, sure, they kind of changed me, but also there's like a few, so the third one is really hard, especially because there's so many girl groups that I want to like talk about.
Brown Eyed Girls,
who like, when I rewatch their videos now, I'm like, holy shit, like,
this is lesbian content.
Yeah, and then like, I mean, After School as well, though, Orange Caramel, as you said. There was also, I mean, Evil, you know, they only had one album. And also 21, okay, I need to, the reason why I feel very, even though I wasn't a huge YG stan, I wasn't a huge 21 stan, the reason why I really liked 21 is because they had a very unique concept to the other girls. Yeah. Like, yes. I'm not, again, as I said, like, Brown Eyed Girls and After School also stand out for me because Brown Eyed Girls for me was, like, lesbian content. Like, I am sorry, but
they're
I'm
for
just,
the
like,
girls
they're
and gays
for
only.
The girls only, yeah. And to After School as well, I was like, they know what they're doing.
Because they actually had unique comebacks.
Yes, and they put so much effort into what they were doing. And but 21 as well, what I liked about them is that they weren't afraid of standing out. And because when I was listening to K-pop, I was still developing my own self-confidence. Mm-hmm. They kind of, unconsciously, I say.
The thing is,
like,
the
subconsciously kind of gave me, like, they were like showing me that you don't have to be conventionally anything, and you can still
because
be successful.
The concept,
like, you know,
of 21 was girl crush, but what especially I think YG kept saying is that they were all ugly, even though they were not ugly.
They were not ugly,
but
at all.
They were not the conventional, like the Korean conventional pretty.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like they're like the girl crush concept worked for them so well.
Yeah.
Because they were not only like, we're, you know, so cool and hardcore, but they were like, you know, we are ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't conform, but we still have confidence.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I can't vibe with Blackpink. Yeah. It's because they, you know, they are girl crush, but they, you know, they have everything, so why do they have to pretend that they're so
different?
Like,
I agree. And that's
no hate I'm just saying
yeah.
that's why it doesn't work for me, because I know 21.
I think this is one of the reasons that it's hard for me to choose, but I had, like, when I think about the K-pop albums I had Epic High, New East, I have Secret as well. I had Secret, I don't have it anymore, but and there was another one, but I honestly forgot.
I had an A-Pink album. I had all the EXO albums, and I had this one random A-Pink album and like an FX album.
I think Dance, honestly, like, I have
the
to
one with Kyungsoo in it.
I mean, I bought it for Kyungsoo, so
if you ask me dance wise I think EXO elevated. I mean, to be honest, like, it started with, like, for me, I mean, obviously there was TVXQ, right? But then there was Infinite, and After School, definitely After School has to be credited. But EXO, I think, elevated boy groups to a new level. Like, there was Infinite, and then there was EXO, and then for me, there was, and then 17, to be honest, because 17 doesn't get enough credit.
Their choreography is insane, always.
Yeah. It's so impressive. I'm honestly, I'm in awe. I love them. They're like my secondhand boys because
they are my children, but Eileen is like their godmother.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're my homies, but they're also my children. I still cannot believe that they are all legally allowed to drive.
Two bros sitting in a 5 feet apart because they're not gay. Even though, like, we were betting on, I'm saying Seokwon is gonna come out gay, but we will see. Within 2 years. Yeah. But you were saying someone else.
She said 10.
CT10, but like not as gay, but if he has to, if he's like being made to because of like
bisexuals are not gonna come. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm as a bisexual, I'm speaking here.
Yeah, I don't think he would
Can we go back to the three
K-pop
songs?
Yeah,
so I'm gonna name my third one.
Yes.
I'm just gonna say it. Maybe I'm gonna sound like a filthy, like, shiny stan. But I have to give it to Taemin because he got me back into K-pop.
I mean,
because I would not have, stepped foot into the K-pop realm again if Wand hadn't been
Such a banger.
Such a banger. Like, everyone says that Move is his best song. And I'm not going to say it's not. Mm. But I'm saying that Want, like, Move walked. So Want could run.
Like, isn't it the other way around?
Isn't it the way? Yeah.
Yeah, no. Want.
Move walked. So Want.
Like, Want could, was first.
No, no, Want is the really? Newer. Yeah, Want came out last year. Aye. Like, early last year.
Sorry, Timmy.
And then, like, it was Danger. Mm. Then he had, like, the second one was, like, Pretty Boy with Kai. Mm-hmm. But it was the same album. And then he had Drip Job. Mm. No, no, he had Press Your Number, Drip Job. And then he had Move. And then he had Want.
Really?
And then he had Japanese release, which is Famous, which is weird, but they do the snake hand thing, which is funny.
Right, Famous.
And now he has the new one that we're not going to talk about.
Mm. I mean,
but anyway, Taemin, for me, also Taemin, like, not to get into this, but Taemin, I remember back in the day when they were, like, when he was in SHINee and he didn't have any lines, and he worked so hard to be able to actually have lines and sing well. Yeah. And then have his solo release because he always wanted to be a solo artist.
Yeah.
And he's known as a dancer, but he improved so much in his singing.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know, and he stands as a solo artist, but he still appreciates his own band.
Yeah.
And like he's his own brand, but he just works well in his unit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean he's kind of crazy because he's a we're not gonna get into astrology charts, but he's something.
I feel like you also connect him because he's the youngest of the group. Like, not to be
absolutely,
like this, but...
Absolutely, he was my favorite. Yeah. He was my favorite, even though, like, Jonghyun...
No, but sorry, I was also always into Key, by the
way. But Taemin was my favorite because I could relate to him as, like, the youngest in the band. Yeah. Like, he was kind of cheeky.
But he wasn't appreciated
as
also.
The eldest sibling.
Not,
I could
by
not
the group,
relate.
But by the company. I mean, like they didn't see his potential. To be
they
honest,
absolutely, they did because he debuted at 14 because he was a good dancer.
No, he was a good dancer, but I mean, they didn't see the whole package until the group was like, yo, because Jonghyun gave him like, sing lessons, right?
Yeah, that like they
just like wanted to promote him as a main dancer, but they didn't like.
No, they didn't really like.
They
you
didn't
know,
let him grow before
grow.
They debuted.
But then he was like, on that one Henry song, Trap.
Yeah, the thing is,
as
he,
a vocalist.
Yeah, that was up. Like, he debuted and he didn't have any lines. He was just dancing.
Yeah.
And then he got singing lessons. Like, he actually tried really hard.
Mm.
So, like,
and he had, like, the other guys in the band helping him develop his voice. And then he was on, I think, Immortal Songs.
Oh, I never saw that.
That was, like, he has really good, like, he was really good on that show. And then he had the song with Henry.
Mm.
And then he was on another show. I don't know the name of the show, but, like, there is a song, Pinocchio, which is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Which is on Spotify. Go listen to it. Stan Taemin. And I think then he had his solo debut.
Mm.
And then there were SHINee comebacks. And, like, Jonghyun also wrote songs for Taemin. And I think if you listen to those songs, like, you can tell that Jonghyun was really invested in getting Taemin where he is now.
Yeah.
And I also, the reason why I'm still listening to SHINee, even though it kind of hurts to not have Jonghyun in the songs anymore, is because you can tell that, like, that Jonghyun is still there.
Yeah.
Can tell by the fact that Taemin is such a good vocalist now.
Yeah.
Like, he can actually sing Jonghyun's parts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And that's why I'm like, literally, I think I sent you one of their songs once, and I was like, I love this song, and it makes me very emotional because you can tell that he's still in the band, even though he's not there.
Yeah.
Anyway, send SHINee.
Yes.
Okay, third one, Charlotte's.
I'm gonna pick Fine by Taeyeon.
Oh, okay.
Because not a lot of people notice, but I'm a really big Taeyeon stan. I listen to her
The Girls' Generation Taeyeon.
Yeah, the lead singer. Yeah. I listen to her religiously. And
she has
especially,
a gorgeous voice.
Like, a lot of her, because it's like pretty known that she was also, like, she struggled with depression and stuff.
Mm.
And a lot of her songs reflect that, especially Fine and Now Happy that came out this year. And
like, especially when, like, my life was not going the way I wanted it to be. Mm. I listened to a lot of her songs, and Fine was, like, I related to that song so much. Mm. And honestly, her music helped me through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Just being able to relate to her songs. And also, I was almost going to say Lonely.
Which one?
Jonghyun and Taeyeon.
I have a playlist with K-pop songs called Lonely, so I was which one?
I was going to say that one, but then I listened to that only after it happened.
Mm.
And I couldn't bear listening to it afterwards. To listen to it. So I don't want to pick that one because I honestly didn't listen to it that much, but it hurts. Mm.
I get that.
Yeah. But I'm going to pick Fine because I can relate to the lyrics so much.
Yeah.
And honestly, she deserves so much more credit than she's given.
No, I mean all women in the industry.
Yeah.
I remember when
Brown Eyed Girls, like their newest album.
Yeah. But also remember when Ladies Codes.
Mm.
Yeah. I remember when the accident happened and people were talking about it, but like that nothing changed in the industry, and I'm like, great. No. Like, I literally, like, Ladies Code, Bad Girl was the first song that made me win a dance competition. So, like, when that happened, I was like, fuck, like, mm-hmm. I actually know them. And, like, the fact that, yeah, anyway, that's a whole other...
I watched the drama, like, Hotel de Luna last week with my sister. And Solly was actually in that drama for, like, an entire episode. And I didn't remember that she was in it, and I literally just started crying. And my sister was like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "That's Sully."
Yeah.
And she's smiling, and
it's really crazy how close you get with these idols.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're doing their job.
Yeah.
But also with some of them, for me, like Jonghyun, because he also wrote a lot of the songs. You kind of have a personal connection with the person, even though you don't know the person.
Yes, exactly.
Because I think art always, and I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of music it is, like art makes the artist, like good art for me is when the artist lays his or her emotions bare in front of the audience so that the audience can connect to it. And so, of course, it makes sense that you connect to the person who writes the songs,
but,
right?
Like, I hear from a lot of people who only listen to American music or, like, European music, Western music, that K-pop is very artificial.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny to me when people say that.
And
like,
I think it's funny because they think that American or Western music industry is different.
Yeah.
When it really is not.
No.
Nope.
Like, there is different circumstances,
like,
for
sure. Like, the training system doesn't exist. Okay, great.
Yeah. No, and I mean, it's not... I mean, there is a big difference in the industry, but that's because mainly because Western and Eastern culture is very different.
Yeah.
And so, of course, the industries will differ in that sense, but the way that music is produced...
And that the companies work,
yeah,
in my opinion, is very similar. It's just that the way that the groups are built...
Yeah.
Like, we don't really have boy groups anymore in the West.
No,
there's a few, but they don't get as popular, or it's not as common, and they don't do the dancing things and stuff.
Yeah. One Direction disbanded.
Yeah. Also, One Direction wasn't the quote-unquote common kind of boy group.
They didn't have
dance choreographies.
Yeah,
they
true.
Had a different concept.
Yeah. But, we didn't even talk about how, like, you know, Korea invented K-pop to pay off its debt, but it's fine.
Yeah.
That might be a different episode.
Yeah. I had a class about that last
year. That's so funny.
I had a class about that last year. Like, after the Korean War, they had so much debt.
Yeah.
And that they were literally just like, okay, we need to, like, re-up the economy. Mm. And they were like, okay, BoA, HOT, you go.
I think that's so funny because it worked. Like,
yeah.
Genius.
Yes.
Anyway, so like,
and a lot of other Asian countries are like, for example, Malaysia and Thailand or stuff are trying to like copy it, but not exactly, but like trying to take the same approach.
Yeah.
Because they saw that it worked.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I don't know why, but it doesn't really work that well as with Korea, and it's like...
I think because Korea now is at the wave,
they created
what I mean?
A brand.
They literally called it
the
wave,
Korean
right?
wave,
they,
yeah.
Hallyu wave. So, like, I mean, I think it's very hard to copy something that is currently at its peak. because you will never. In 10 years, Malaysian pop music is going to be like the thing.
Who knows?
Because I think before Korean pop music, it was Japanese pop music was like Japan on the rise. Was like, So I think that there's just the fluctuation, basically.
Yeah, like, and also I know China is doing a lot of those like boy group things. Like the
I only stand Jackie Chan.
I'll make a man out of you.
Did you say your third song?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Couldn't say because I was like, there's too many that I can't.
Yeah, you said you were talking about Ladies Code, and I was like, did she say a third song?
Yeah, like I picked Taeyeon's Fine, but I'm also like, I want to like choose the development into Happy.
Yeah.
Where she's like, 2 years ago, she was singing about like, I know I'm pretending to be fine, but y'all, I'm not okay. Yeah. And then her latest song is like, you know what?
I'm happy.
Like, I can calm down and I'm happy.
I would also like to mention Ihai's new song.
Yes, thank you. I was about to say that when she was talking about feelings, I was like,
also said you mentioned the Lonely by Jonghyun with Taeyeon, because to me, like I told you, for me, those songs connect. That's why I had like the brain malfunction, because I listened to it's so late. But she released this new song, and I listened to it, and then I listened to it again with the lyrics, and I just, my brain made the connection that Jonghyun wrote Breathe for her, and that they were close, and that he, like if you look at interactions when she debuted and stuff, like he was very supportive, like Shinee was very supportive of her, and that they were actually really close. That's why when she performed Breathe as a tribute when he passed, like she actually cannot sing the entire song because she gets choked up. And he has the song Lonely, which is kind of about being together but still feeling lonely and kind of not being able to talk about it. And then her new song is more about being alone but being able to let go of it and maybe find happiness. And I don't know, it kind of, my brain just made the connection, and I was like, oh god. And then I was my brain just didn't work for that. Literally, I was just sitting there contemplating
when I heard the song for the first time, and I had the lyrics, I started crying.
No, I didn't even have to hear, like, I didn't know what she was singing.
Like, I could understand anyway.
Yeah, like the parts that were English, and then like just the feeling, like the emotion that she carries in her songs. And that is also something very important, because you know how you always say, like, people are like, oh, like you don't even understand the lyrics. Like, it's not
sometimes
about
you don't have to.
You know, sometimes you don't have to, because you understand what the person is trying to convey. And I remember, like, Maura listened to the song twice, and she was just lying on the floor, and I was like, okay, something, I need to
I was sitting there trying to eat, but I was just spacing out because I just kept thinking about it. And then I was like, okay, I'm sorry, I need to lie down on the floor. And then I was lying down on the floor.
And then I had to listen to the song, and it actually made me cry, even though, like, she has a few, like, English parts in it, but it's mostly still in Korean. And I was like, but it still made me cry. Like, I don't understand. But it's just because a good artist, I think, if you bear your emotions into the art that you're creating, I think it will touch people no matter what. Like, it's like when we were children, we also didn't understand English, but we're still gonna sing English songs. Like,
I remember listening to
Black Eyed Peas, though.
I remember listening to Candy Shop.
I remember listening to. I was always like a dramatic child, and I remember when Britney Spears released Every Time.
Which one? Okay. I was like,
and
toxic.
Like, no, Every Time, and she's like almost like she. Like, is submerged in the bathtub, and it's like she's dying, and then at the end she gets up again,
resurrects,
and like, me as a child not being able to speak English, I was like, my sister didn't like that song, but
Leona
I was like,
Lewis,
I feel this.
Oh yeah, Bleeding.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Man, I thought that was the, like, I related to it, and I'm like, Shirley, you were 11.
I was not even,
which
I was
bleeding.
I was 7. I was 7 years old when Britney Spears released Every Time.
I remember when Circus came out, and I was like, and I'm like,
Oh man, okay. Oh,
we're drifting
off. Before we drift.
Yeah, this is not about K-pop
anymore. Do you have any last words?
Prince episode.
I feel like if you're listening to this and you have no connection to K-pop, you should.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry for you, but I feel like you should get off your high horse. Maybe not listen to the.
But it doesn't mean.
I mean, it's not because you don't vibe with it that you're on a high horse, though.
No, but like if you never listen to K-pop and you just didn't listen to it because you think it's not for you, because it's like for one reason or the other, because it's you don't understand the language or because you don't vibe with BTS or all these things. I think there's like a niche for everyone.
Yes.
And it's just this, like, it's just music.
Yeah, I feel like.
And
people,
if you just, you know, just give it a try.
I feel like people overgenerate it. Like, it's people think right now because BTS is so popular, they think, okay, well, that's the only thing they have.
Yeah.
But then you mentioned K-indie or other songs, and K-hip-hop. they're like, wait,
you
that
can
exist, and I'm like, yeah,
literally,
it's just music, but in another language.
If you listen to Epic High, if you listen to their old songs, it's very classical hip hop.
Yeah.
If you listen to Code Kunst or however you
Code
pronounce,
Kunst, I love that.
He's kind of indie,
indie-ish. The music is always on point.
Americano.
If you listen to 10 centimeters, however you say that in Korean, the 10
what,
centimeters, like, the Americano
one.
This guy,
this
guy just, he's, Americano is just, I should have said that one.
Okay,
Americano is just the one, like.
We will, maybe we will make another K indie episode.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I only got into K indie, like, very recently, like when I was in China.
Mm.
I mean, like, obviously I knew Americano, but
yeah.
There is a Zion T, for example, I really
Zion T.
Like they make very like nice smooth music, like R&B kind of.
Taru,
Taru,
what was it? Orange something. The album was called something Orange.
Yeah.
Does any of you know
Orange Blossom or something?
Bupalgansa?
No.
Bupalgansa. Sachungi. Wow, this sounded really Korean. Anyways, they're a girl group, and there's like two of them, and they make this also like K indie, it's not really K pop, and I love their songs. And
yeah.
They're very, like, they're ballads, but her voice is so unique.
I love ballads.
And they have a song called Mermaid, so you know.
Oh, I think I know that one.
The sexy of them.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
I just love their songs.
So the point is,
you can find your music taste in K-pop anywhere.
Yes.
Like you will
in
find
Korean
it there.
In Korean music,
yes.
Yeah. I think. Go ahead first.
Well, I was just gonna say like the importance of K-pop for a lot of K-pop fans is not per se the music, but like the community. The community, and I'm not saying that as in I'm part of a fandom, but just the way
the connections
you
made.
Yeah,
people,
the connections I made.
As a teenager.
And,
like
as
now
a teenager.
I wouldn't, but
yeah, now I wouldn't, but just the way it made me feel accepted and made me feel like find my own personality.
Yeah.
And it keeps on doing that. Like I keep on finding new music and I keep on being like, okay, it keeps.
Yeah.
Even as I've grown out of being like a fan.
Yeah, yeah.
I still listen to it and I'm like, am I too old to be listening to K-pop?
No.
Like,
no.
It's music.
It's just music.
As long as
I relate to the music, then.
Yeah.
And if I go back to Shiny and Infinite, well, so be it.
Yeah.
Their music is still great.
I actually made, like, when I went back to university, I made a friend by being, like, casually mentioning K-pop at some point. And she was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what the f-? And I was so scared that she was going to be one of the newer fans.
Sussing.
You know, because she is younger than me. I was like, if she's going to stan someone that I just cannot tolerate. And she does, but I'm like, we're still friends now, even though our main friendship doesn't revolve around K-pop.
Yeah.
We still found a connection through having the same.
It really does that.
Like, genre of music.
It doesn't even have to be the same band.
No.
The fact that you're open to that
type world of music
is a connection.
I don't think that necessarily people who don't listen to it right now are ignoring it in the sense that they're like, oh, like I hate it or whatever, because I without listening to it, but I do think that there is music snobs out there and they should get over themselves and as Maura said, I think there is Korean music for everyone, and there is, just as there is like indie and hip-hop in America, there is just as much like indie and hip-hop in Korea or like anywhere else. So Definitely check it out. It's like a new, I don't know, I feel like
just get a perspective.
Perspective.
And what I like, yeah. I don't judge people who don't listen.
No, you don't have to listen to it.
What I wanted to say with that is just the world doesn't revolve around American music.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Please, and you don't stop doing that. You don't have to get into K-pop. You can also get into your local music.
Artists,
like I don't know where you're from, but if you're from, you know,
I
don't want to be like listen to German music because I don't vibe with German music. But see what's around you. Just you don't have to follow the
America is not the standard
American music industry.
America is not the standard. Not when it comes to music.
And a lot of trends actually come.
From other places.
From Asia. A lot of trends that you find in American music, you hear or you see in Asia 2 years beforehand.
True.
It's
Not even music-wise, like fashion-wise.
Literally, fashion
trends
you see
Korea
is 2 years before America.
Asia did it first.
It's the same. I mean, I think with any type of music, we should get out of this bubble of like America is the one that dictates what. It's the same with movies, right? Like you know, the Grammys and the Oscars are like you know the standard of music and film, but they're not. Like there's so much Arabic music. There's so much like East Asian music, Southeast Asian music,
or African music.
African music. There, you know, like there's so much to discover. Just like get out there and
don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. Yes. And just, you know, sometimes you need to listen to something twice to get it. You know what I mean? Like,
and sometimes you need to accept that it might feel like a guilty pleasure, but it's actually not.
It's not.
It's really good.
The Pink said there is no guilty pleasure. So
Pink said there is no guilty pleasure.
We will carry that with us. And unless you have something else to say, I will...
Let us sleep.
End the episode on this note and wish you all a very wonderful, I don't know, night or day, depending on when you're listening to this. Thank you so much for sticking with us for such a long time talking about K-pop, but you know, this was necessary. And stay hydrated, stay safe, put your mask on.
It's been a long time coming.
The pandemic is not over, you guys. Hopefully see you next week. Bye.
Bye.